long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hey, it's Gracie,
Sarah,
and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Kokosaki, Athens.
And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
Well, hello there. I am Neva Wartell, host of Music for the Masses, inviting you to join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on an excursion of sound and rhythm, where we discover how much amazing music comes from places in the world you may be familiar with, or you've wondered about, or maybe never even heard of. Music for the Masses comes to you live from Catskill every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. only on listener-supported, solar-powered, community-based radio for open ears, open minds, and open hearts. 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Suitable for the avid globehopper and armchair traveler alike. You might want to pack a map and a sandwich.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry, call us at 551-299-2456, check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org, or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Stefan of Chicago, Illinois. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Variety says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It costs $4 million and it has 4 million thrills.
Thank you.
to Missives to the Ether. That was Mary Lattimore, Wawa by the Ocean, a song I adore, as does today's guest, who I have had the delightful pleasure to discover we have so much in common. And it's just been a thrill to get to know her. Full disclosure, I usually, pretty much every guest we've had on the show, I've known for a while. So, Sarah, today's guest is my first new pal. So it's just been really delightful to kind of prepare for today's show and talk more. But in case you have not listened to Missives to the Ether before, this is WGXC or ACRA live from Catskill. Thank you for listening to Listener Supported Radio. We talk to artists and creatives about their creative process and where spirit comes into play, and then we read some tarot cards. But today, we have Sarah Potter, who is an actual professional psychic, tarot reader, and witch based in New York City. She weaves tarot and ritual and intuition to everything she does, from one-on-one readings to full moon ceremonies. And her bust column, Ask the Tarot, which I'm a big fan of, and seasonal tarot scopes. I will just say it. I have read her work for a long time. I consider her a teacher in my own path towards tarot, so I'm stoked to have her on. Sarah's new book, Sober Magic, Using the Tarot and Ritual in Your Journey Away from Drinking, out by Running Press, explores the intersection of witchcraft, creativity, and recovery. You can find her on Instagram at I am Sarah with an H, Potter, P-O-T-T-E-R. Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
You had mentioned that you have a background working in the art world, and I believe you're a painter as well?
I worked more on like the business side of art.
Okay.
I love expressing myself creatively, and I did go to art school, but now I feel like I express myself more through words and spells. That's how I get my creative desires met.
Amazing. And how I'm curious, I mean, you don't have to go through the whole story, but I wonder how kind of like your own personal journey going into like leaning into being like a professional psychic, tarot reader, mystic, how that kind of that part of your journey and how that intersects with like kind of like your recovery journey and, you know, just, but I'm just kind of curious, like, how did you start?
So, I mean, I've had psychic abilities my whole life. Like, I just was a psychic child, and I think, like most people, no matter what your path is, there's this almost like assumption that everyone's moving through the world in the same way as you, and then you have that illumination of, oh, we're all, there's, of course, the human experience is shared, but we're all having a different journey. And I was having, I think, a more tuned in and sensitive one than some of my peers. And I have kind of, I always say I had an abundance of psychic angst growing up, where I had this hot and cold push and pull relationship with my psychic abilities. And actually, like, my book, Sober Magic, does tell the story of how I fully stepped into doing this work full time.
Cool.
As a result of sobriety. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that my sobriety and sobriety helped me get more comfortable in my own skin. And that also helped me find the confidence in doing this work on a professional level. And it was like all of the signs were there to encourage me and push me forward on this path. And having that clarity of sobriety helped me to fully tap into it and see it. And I feel like my recovery journey, like, I just think of the recovery journey as like a fool's journey, just like tarot. And I think any sort of spiritual enlightenment follows that fool's journey as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they all intertwine hand in hand into its own kind of beautiful fool's journey in a way.
Amazing. So okay, I think that's a perfect segue to kind of talk about how did Sober Magic come together? Like, kind of like, what was like your organizing principles around it? Because I think it's pretty interesting.
So my recovery journey is a pretty long one, and relapse is part of recovery. So the first time I was kind of like looking to get sober, I was still a teenager, and I just had different like bouts and stretches of sober time. And I went to a concert. This was about 3 years ago now. And I actually shared, this is the introduction to my book, is sharing about this experience at a concert where I have this, I'm just hit with so much energy and information. And it was like a psychic energetic attack, and I black out. Mm-hmm. And when I come to, I'm having the same experience I would have coming to in like a drunken blackout. Mm-hmm. And I actually, like, I love the introduction to my book, and I feel like, because I remember that night and being removed from it now and safe and good, like, I'm like, this is so funny, and it was so wild, and these experiences I have are just, I don't, sometimes it's like, how is this even real? And I'm like, that is moving through the world as a psychic. But I had this revelation. So I remember I was like, where's all my stuff? Like, where's my, kind of gathering myself and figuring out, like, where am I? And like, do I have my bag? Did I lose anything? And it's just like, oh, I haven't felt this feeling in so long, because at that time I had like 5+, like looking into 6 years of continuous sobriety. And it really, I had this moment like, wow, like this is the longest I've been sober. Because I feel like I'm not like counting days anymore. I'm not like always, like sobriety isn't at the forefront of my mind anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how have I done this for, like, why has it worked this time? Right. Like, how have I been able to stay sober this long this time? And absolutely, it's the willingness. But also, I was like, oh, it's my spiritual path. It's the way witchcraft and tarot are part of my everyday and showed me how to live. Also with the addition of 12 steps. And it hit me, and I was like, that's my book. And I texted my agent, and I was like, I know what my book is. And I told him about the whole experience at the concert and what happened and the revelation. And he's like, this is your book. And then I was thinking a lot about how this recovery journey is a fool's journey. And I was like, has anyone put the steps next to tarot? Because I was like this enlightenment, this spiritual enlightenment, and how healing is a spiral. And I think about how we do the steps over and over again, because there's always something new to uncover and peel back and address and confront and move through. And I was like, that's just like going from the fool to the world and over again. and so then I was like, when I really like framed it up, I was like, wow, like it was just like this whole, like, I don't know, maybe like an Ace of Swords moment. And then I started to research it, and was like, because I feel like, you know, so much has been done before. And I think like all of us who are creatives, we're constantly like reinventing and expressing through our own perspectives and point of views. But I just like, I couldn't find anything like this. So I was like, well, I'm going to create it. And the more I dove into it, the more I was just like, wow, like this just makes so much sense. This is so exciting. Cause, and I think there's something really thrilling about being able to weave together these different modalities that I feel so passionately about. Like, mm-hmm. I see the world through tarot and through more and more recovery. Like, cause now I'm looking at almost 9 years. I see the world through through 12 steps in that framework. And I'm like, and witchcraft is just like, oh, that's my like reason for living. So it's like, oh, I get to bring in all of these things that I love so much. And I wanted to, I wanted to create something I wished had been available to me when I was younger, and bring in, you know, a nurturing energy to it all. And maybe just like some of that empress energy into recovery. So I was obsessed, and it was so fun to be, I mean, it was wild and maddening, but to just fully immerse myself in this and think about it and from all different angles and be able to share it, it's just, it's feeling really good.
Good. Yeah. How long, I'm curious, how long did it take you to put the book together? Like once you were like, you had the epiphany moment and then you're like, okay, now I have to like do it.
Yeah. Well, so I worked on the proposal for nearly a year. And when I'm saying working, like sometimes it was really hard and too overwhelming and exhausting and so vulnerable that I'd have to put it down for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then come back to it. And something I really appreciated about this process was how it gave me a better understanding of healing and a better understanding of you can find closure and you can move through something and you can, I think, find healing in your trauma. But when you go back in there, you can still feel all the feelings about it. And to understand that firsthand, that I don't want to say I put it away, but I resolved a lot of things. But then when I was digging around in there again, I was like, oh, wow, these feelings are really, I can still experience them. And it gave me a lot of a new level of compassion, a new level of understanding that I could then bring into my professional work, my recovery work. And I'm so thankful for that. But it was also very tough. Mm-hmm. And it was very exhausting physically, emotionally, spiritually. So I really used that year to work on my proposal. Mm-hmm. I did this framework and I'm a Virgo. And one of my dear friends who's an astrologer, after she read my book, she's like, this is such a Virgo book, the way it's organized. And that, oh, that compliment really thrilled me. Yeah. And a couple of people, now that the book is out there, a couple of people were like, I just love how this is organized. And I'm like, ah. My Virgo son is thrilled.
Yes.
And so feel
seen. I did... Thank
yes.
you. I did spreadsheets. Thank you.
So good.
And it worked it out.
Really, yes, it felt so good.
Yeah.
So I worked on that and then my agent shopped it for say like maybe 3 months, 4 months. And something that I just everything about this book has been cosmic. We had a meeting with the publisher. I think it was the day of my sobriety anniversary. And my editor had said in that meeting, before she was even my editor, she said that she had a post-it on her computer that said, like, I think it said sobriety and witchcraft, ? And I was like, you manifested me. I was like, you called out to me in the universe. And I just think that that was so cosmic. And I truly think we manifested this together. And then the deal was put together. And my first draft was due about 8 months later. And I just worked away on that. And it was just so lovely to be consumed by that creative process and then going through the excavation of emotions and vulnerability again. And when we threw it, and I really loved my working relationship with my editor. We worked really well together and I could talk things out and she could see things from another angle. It was so helpful. And then there was just like a few like back and forth with some edits. And then I recorded the audiobook. I got to record the audiobook,
cool.
Which was really such a cool experience and difficult in a different way, but I'm satisfying and I got to see the book from a new angle, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, we recorded that, oh gosh, it was in the fall. I can't remember if it was like September or October. And the book's out in the world. It's early December.
Amazing. I'm curious, like, kind of like when I'm working on a memoir right now, so I hear what you're saying about kind of the experience of kind of going into painful memory and being like, I've healed and I have done all this work to be able to talk about it and to give it perspective, and this way I can write about it. And then you're like, ooh. And so I'm curious, as a way just to get some advice about, what did you do to kind of take care of it? I mean, I get like kind of like maybe it's just a matter of like kind of stepping away and kind of like, okay, I need a break. Like that's one aspect of it. But like when you're on a deadline, like what did you find helped for you to kind of care for yourself through that process?
I think it's really important to be kind to yourself and to understand like this is challenging. This is painful. This is difficult. And now on the other side of it, it kind of like, I feel like, oh, of course it's painful and difficult. I just like didn't even realize it was going to be. I was like, oh, I healed that. Like, right. I healed that. I moved through it. And I think everyone works in different ways. And I know like some people just get like enraptured and caught up and can just work for hours and hours and hours. And then they put it down for a while. And like, I just think that being able to take breaks in whatever way that means for you, because I try to give myself like office hours for writing. It's like, okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours writing and then I'm going to take a break. And so whatever that looks like for you, but show yourself kindness and compassion. And it's challenging when you have a deadline that you have to meet. And knowing like, I gotta get this done. And I think that, you know, I think it's good to get proper rest and sleep. And to eat well, yes. To take care of yourself in all of these ways. I love meditation. I love yoga. I love the people I love in my life. I think it was really good to get out of my house and take a walk in my neighborhood and go out to dinner with friends. Sometimes like just like live. Watching, yeah, live life, yeah. Have a human experience.
Cool. Okay. I feel like I'm on the right track.
You definitely are. I feel it too. And I have another little silly tip too.
Yeah.
But, towards the end of my deadline, this show was put on HBO that I really connected with, but this is what's silly is I can't remember the name of it, but it stars Courtney Cox.
Okay.
And she plays a writer who had a very successful book and she has a deal for her second book. And, you know, the advance is long gone. I think the deadline's been extended many times over. And her editor's like, you have to write this book or you have to give the advance back. And it's like, well, there's no advance to give back. Like, so right. You got to write it. And her husband's played by Greg Kinnear. Uh-huh. And they move, I think, to Connecticut. They move out of the city. They move to Connecticut. They get this, like, beautiful old home. Do you know this show?
I've seen the trailer, but I can't remember the name of it either. Okay.
Oh, my. I know. I was like, I wish I could remember. It's so good. And basically, I have to be honest, like, I don't know if I'm giving away the plot here, but basically, she's possessed by a spirit who channels the book through her. And I'm watching that. I'm like, oh, I was like, that's incredible. I was like, oh, I love that. And I was like, I think I was staring down like 6 weeks to my deadline.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, if any spirits want to come through and come channel the rest of my book, like, you're welcome here. I was like,
right. Spiritual team. Come
yeah,
on.
Spirit team, demons, anyone, whoever wants to come through. And I heard from my ex-boyfriend and I didn't even put it together until like months later when when I was like, oh yeah, and he was such a muse to me. So I would say learn from my mistake. Don't welcome in demons. You never know who's going to show up. It might be the ex-boyfriend. But I liked watching that. There was something I found like quite lovely about watching a show where like a writer was having like a creative block and struggling, and I just thought the show was so good. I really enjoyed it.
I will definitely look this up. You've given me enough to Google this for sure. Okay. I have one last question, and then maybe we should hop into doing some tarot.
Okay.
I had said this to you when we did our pre-conversation, in the art therapy program I'm in at SVA. One of our requirements for one of our interviewing and counseling skills class was we had to attend like various 12-step meetings, either in person or virtually, and kind of write observations to kind of, just like learn about the process, learn about 12 steps, kind of like, you know, understand what comes up, participate, not participate, whatever. And there's 12 steps for everything now, as you know. Yes. And a big thing that came up in my cohort was the God aspect. And, based off of like kind of, you know, folks like kind of alienation from, you know, religion and just kind of like not relating to that. And what I love so much about what you've done with this book is reclaiming spirit in the process and being like, kind of like, you know, the G word is just a place mark for whatever you want and need it to be, you know? And I think that's really, important. And like, you know, like you were saying, like, kind of like, you know, this is the book. I mean, I feel like this is what anyone who makes something is pretty much just making something that they wish that they had access to, you know?
Yes.
But I think this is an incredible gift, you know, because so many people, you know, who need to do this work, but also need to be allowed in to do. And I think that like you're doing something really powerful by the way that you've reclaimed spirit in the 12-step conversation.
Oh, that feels really good to hear, because I really believe that everyone can benefit from the 12-step framework. I used to think like, I don't know, there's something almost like I thought like everyone knew how to like live and navigate the human experience. Like everyone got that handbook except me. And as I grow up and learn more, I've come to understand that's, I think, a pretty shared experience that we all feel.
Yeah.
But I do think that 12 steps provides a lovely framework to follow of self-reflection, understanding our motivations, our patterns, aspects of ourselves to look at, shadow work, and how to embody and integrate this healing. And I also understand that a very like kind of masculine patriarchal framework with speaking about God, and you know, speaking about God doesn't make me uncomfortable, but I understand how it does, and I understand people are coming with religious trauma and all kinds of past harm and traumatic experiences. And I think that if you need 12 steps, I want you to feel welcomed into them. And I love that idea of the universe and feeling welcomed into this aspect of a higher power. And something I think about a lot is something I learned about in the rooms, which is take what you need and leave the rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really powerful way to move through experiences, because there's something in there for you.
100%. Well, I think that's a perfect segue into the spread that we decided to do. So you're going to explain a little about like how the spreads show up in the book, and then kind of like the specifics of the spread. And we're going to break the mold for missives this month by Sarah's going to read for me, which is cool.
I'm honored. So the framework of this book is I reinterpreted the 12 steps in kind of like a pagan lens through tarot. And so we have, it's like the Fool Sober Journey. Mm-hmm. And step one is the Fool, and step 12 is the World. And then the 10 steps in between are paired up with two major arcanas. And then every chapter is also linked with minor arcanas to kind of provide the everyday details, just like they do for our tarot deck. And then in each chapter, I talk about the lessons of the step, and I share an anecdote from my first year of sobriety that mirrors and embodies the lessons of that step. Mm. And then it's further broken down by the tarot cards, and then I include a spread or two, as well as a ritual to help you embody and integrate this energy and lessons and healing into your own life.
Amazing.
And so we really get to go on a full fool's journey together. And so we pulled from chapter 11, it's the Sun and Judgment. My higher purpose provides a guiding light on my divine path. And in this chapter, I talk about, this is when I start seeing my clients in my best friend's tattoo studio. Through my sobriety, my tarot business, my psychic business took off pretty rapidly.
Hmm.
And this was a really exciting moment of expansion. And in the studio, my friend would host workshops, and it really became a community space.
Hmm.
And a lot of the workshops that would be brought into the shop, it was just like, oh, like we wanted to take those workshops and learn. And Sundays were always my best friend and me together working and seeing our clients and then taking a workshop. It was so fun. And in this chapter, I talk about a meditation my friend Diana led where we met our higher self. And so I thought that was such like a lovely way to embody the lessons of this step and being guided through that divine path. And I really enjoyed this. The ritual is kind of, it helps you get to know your higher self, as does the tarot spread. And would it be enjoyable if I read what I wrote about the judgment card, or should we just move right into the spread?
Yeah, sure. I would love for you to read a little bit, actually, just so okay. I can get a flavor for it.
Okay. So this is what I had to say about judgment through the lens of recovery. And I have a few keywords here. Self-reflection and awakening, forgiveness and release, transformation, accountability, new beginnings. The judgment card encourages us to assess our past actions and make decisions that lead to personal growth and positive change. It expresses how introspection opens the potential for a more fulfilling life. Judgment prompts a thorough evaluation of our choices and behaviors, as well as their consequences. Through that accountability, we can awaken to a higher purpose. In the context of sobriety, this can signal the moment when an individual realizes the need for change, recognizing the desire to move beyond addiction and toward a healthier life. But judgment isn't only about more fearless self-exploration. It also speaks to themes of forgiveness, both of ourselves and others. In recovery, letting go of guilt or shame related to past behavior is crucial for healing and moving forward. And in judgment, we find a period of transformation and renewal. It extends the warming rays of the sun into a guiding light on our divine path. Sobriety is inherently a process of transformation as we strive to rebuild our lives, relationships, and sense of self without the influence of substances. Judgment trumpets the dawn of a new chapter. Step 11 suggests that through prayer and meditation, we can gain insights into our past behavior, recognize the lessons learned, and embrace a transformative journey towards spiritual awakening. Judgment encourages us to release old patterns and step into a renewed self, one more aligned with our higher purpose and values.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's really beautiful.
I love this card, and I feel like recovery gave me a greater appreciation for this card.
Mm.
And so, okay, so this is a 5-card spread.
Okay.
It's a tarot spread to get to know your higher self.
Okay.
And then I have a little like check-in one that's like shorter and 3 cards that you can do if you need like a little like, oh, I just need a quick little check-in with my higher self to see what's going on.
Totally. Here. Totally.
All right. So. I feel like, should I read the full thing? Or I think we should just like maybe read, I don't know, should I read the 5 cards first and then go through it, or pull the cards and then move us through it together?
Maybe pull the cards and right? do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so. Okay. That. Well, I have my place. Okay. So I read for my clients with the Miss Cleo deck.
Nice.
Because Miss Cleo was just, you know, being a psychic child and seeing her on TV, I was like, oh, wow.
Did you see the documentary about her?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So good.
Of course. Oh, you know, I think she really did have a gift. Wow. Okay, so let's just take a nice deep breath together in through your nose. And exhaling. I'm just asking you to keep your mind open, your heart open, your spirit open to the messages of your higher self as we call forth this connection through the cards. So, okay, so for your first card, we pulled the Hanged Man reversed, which I feel like what a powerful card for a powerful moment and a powerful reading. Now, okay, so for the first card in this spread, this is your current self.
Okay.
This card represents your current state, mindset, or situation in life. Uh-huh. It reflects where you are right now on your journey, and it may offer any insight to your connection to your higher power. So, what I'm seeing, or your higher self, excuse me, what I'm feeling from this is I think you're in a moment where you're developing almost like a different relationship with your higher self. And it feels like, I think even like being able to see lessons and experiences from a new angle, a new perspective. And actually what it really feels like to me, instead of like searching for it, it's like, the message is received. I'm integrating it. I'm embodying it. Like, I feel like, of course, our search is never over, but it feels like this moment on your path is like, I'm fully open to my relationship with my higher self. And I'm almost like, the message is received and I'm ready to move forward with it. Does that make sense how I'm saying it?
Yes.
Yes. How very exciting.
Very much so. Yeah, it's cool.
Wow. It feels like the moment when we go from search to embodying and that integration of healing, which I feel like is such a...
It's embodiment is the word that really resonates for me. I feel what I'm working towards, what I'm working on, what I'm working through is all about like the kind of being like, this is who I am.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. What a wonderful, powerful place to be in the journey.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so now for card 2, this could be an obstacle to your spiritual connection. This might be any fears, doubts, limiting beliefs that could be hindering this connection to your higher self. And we pulled the Knight of Pentacles reversed. Ooh. Ah! So what this almost feels like a fear of stepping into this, like a fear of making the move, or even like I'm like really feeling like I'm questioning the timing. Like, is the timing right? And my answer would be like, it's all in divine timing. Mm-hmm. If it's being presented, it's being presented for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the fear, but... your higher self is saying, go forth. You're already integrating and embodying. This is how you embody it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So now our third card, this is guidance. So this is the card that's going to offer wisdom or advice from your higher self regarding your personal growth and your spiritual path. So let's see who's coming through as guidance. The Four of Swords reversed. You, my dear, need to take a little rest.
Yeah. You know, I'm tired.
Hey, I mean, it's the end of the semester. Yeah, it's the
end of year. It's been a rough year. Yeah, it's a wild year.
Well, you know, this kind of reminds me of, I think, like, because it feels like to me, you know yourself really well, and I'm also really clicky into this idea of embodiment. Sometimes I feel like we can know something, but if our brains aren't rested, it's like, well, what are we doing here? So I'm even feeling like speaking to this, like, fear and going back to this, like, well, like, should I move forward? Should I say yes? Is the timing right? I think that you'll be able to fully embody it when you just, like, let yourself rest, let yourself sleep. Like, I always think of that, like, when you wake, like, after, like, a, if it were even, like, zooming into, like, a day like that, this, like, put it down, get a good night's sleep, look at it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a very powerful place to be. And just, like, maybe if, like, yes, life is short, but life is also long. And if you're in this moment where it's the end of the semester, everything's ending, like, of course you're exhausted. Like, let yourself take the next step. Like, do it next week. Like, I think, like, get a few good nights sleep. And, like, I think you'll feel fully ready to say yes and step into it, because, like, of course you're tired, you need a nap.
Yeah, I'm also, yeah, I'm a cap sun, so it's like, it's just okay. It's you're like, okay, everything makes sense now. Yeah, so it's like, it's really just a lesson of, like, kind of like, you calm down. Just because you can do a lot doesn't mean you should, and, you know, being tired makes all the good things less fun because I'm tired. So this really resonates.
So happy to hear that. I can't wait for you to get a good night's sleep. You will.
I can't wait. Now, thank you.
I love this card. Four,
yeah,
is going to give us the keys to facilitate your relationship and strengthening that connection with your higher self. So this card is representing your innate strengths or abilities you can harness to better connect with your higher self. Suggest practices, rituals, or mindsets to deepen your spiritual practice. It may even highlight new ways to engage with prayer, meditation, or self-reflection. So I think this is really going to speak to that cap sun. We're going to give you something to focus on. Oh, I love this! The Queen of Wands!
Yes, cool.
How amazing. I feel like it's like, let yourself be. When you're in your fullest expression, your fullest creative expression, your fullest yes, then you are able to really, I think, feel the energy of the connection with your higher self. So I think it's like, what I actually think is, this is such a beautiful progression, because it's like, I think, like, having that little mental clarity through rest and sleep and just, like, mental reset will allow you to, I think, feel more like your best self, to be able to see. And I think, like, hey, since you shared that you have that cap sun, I'm going to pull it in here. Like, I know you guys can be a little hard on yourselves. So it's like, this is the anecdote. Let your higher self show you, like, you're a beautiful, vibrant, colorful, creative being. Share that gift with the world. Like, the more creative you are, the more you feel that connection to your higher self. So don't say no to yourself. Say, yes, what could this be? Let it be as big and expansive as it desires. And that's when I feel like you feel like your most self, because you're a creative being. You're here to creatively express. So allow yourself to do that so you can be in connection to your higher self. Mm-hmm. Love that card coming through for you. And finally, for card five, this is your future connection. This card envisions your spiritual path moving forward. It signifies the potential outcomes or transformations as you continue to seek a deeper connection and understanding of your higher self in this journey. Okay. I haven't done these spreads since I created them and tweaked them for the book. So it's really fun to revisit. Oh, I love this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So your final card is the Lovers.
Oh, yay.
Beautiful. What a beautiful note to end on, because yeah. I feel like it's reminding you, like, that if it feels good in your heart, if it aligns with your heart, if it feels like an embodied yes, you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's like, to me, it feels like a really, like, almost like holy union with mm-hmm. your higher self, as a reminder of, like, I'm always here for you. I am you. I'm part of you. We're connected. We're metaphorically married in this way. So mm-hmm. I'm guiding you as you guide me as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's like, I think it reminds you of having that heart-centered check-in. Like mm-hmm. maybe taking a pause and being like, is this choice in alignment mm-hmm. for what I want, mm-hmm. for where I'm going, for where I wish to be? Then that's all you need to know. You don't need to question the timing. You don't need to question the perspective. Just taking care of yourself, being well rested, allowing yourself to be vibrant, and letting it be that full yes. I feel like, to me, the Lover signifies divine alignment. Mm. And it just feels like a lovely affirmation mm-hmm. of the path you are on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How does this feel?
It's really, it's affirming. And it feels true just because exhaustion came into the mix. but you know, it's deep rest, planning for deep rest is my comfort right now. So yeah, no, it makes sense. So much sense. And just thinking, yeah, there's something to be said about kind of feeling so right about what you want to be in, and having the irony is like having a lot going on, and and time being the commodity that feels like you have the least. It, for me, the ability to discern what is right and what feels good and what I love, it's been really clarifying to kind of step away from the things that just don't feel as good, or the relationships that just don't feel like I don't have time for them. You know, like they're not, and, yes. and they're not, and it's not, and it doesn't have to be a whole big thing. It's just like, kind of like, this is not locked in with like who I want to be in the world. And it's been easier to kind of step away from that, and kind of just float away because I'm so busy. But that's like kind of, this spread for me, it's described the inner work of my busy cat fall.
Yes.
And so that makes me feel really seen, because it's like the part of the experience of being in the swirl of it that has just been primarily an internal dialogue, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you got it. And now, ooh, and now everyone else knows. If I'm not calling you, there's probably a reason. But it's all good, you know. Hope everyone just find your truth.
I love that.
But so thank you. So we're close to wrapping up. The irony. Full disclosure. We are pre-recording today because Sarah is going to be in Hudson at Basilica doing a book event. But so if you're local, like, it would be great to be there, and then listen to the show later, or but if you're not, then be here. But can you say a little bit about what you're going to be doing at Basilica, what time and stuff like that on Sunday?
I am so excited. My beautiful friend Samantha Pleat, who is a fashion designer and makes the most magical, whimsical clothing. I actually mention a Samantha Pleat dress in my book.
She has that amazing, like, rose, that black dress with the roses. I love that dress.
So beautiful. She really knows how to conjure a fantasy.
Yeah.
And I was wearing this unicorn print dress that sparked a conversation between a woman and myself at an art opening, who it wound up, of course, that she was also in her first year of sobriety. Mm-hmm. And now she's actually one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And I really do feel like it was the enchantment of that dress and divine timing and the universe that connected us. So Samantha is debuting her winter line of clothes, which includes that unicorn print, because Amazing. Of course it does. And I will be reading from Sober Magic. Alexa Wilding will be playing a few songs. I just love her enchanted sound. Our friend Leah, Lavender Lady Supreme, will be providing a beautiful aperitivo.
Cool.
Curious Elixirs is providing my favorite lavender champagne spirit-free cocktail. And we're going to have flowers by Strega Floral at Basilica. It's just like all of this magic is coming together.
Yeah.
It's 2 to 5 Sunday afternoon. I hope you'll come join us.
I will be there.
Okay, good. I can't wait.
We'll be on the radio and we'll be together. It's amazing.
I love it. Yeah. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled to be at Basilica. That's one of my favorite venues. And it's just like so fun to add enchantment to your day.
Yes.
And I know we're just going to have the best time. And I love Hudson. I'm so thrilled to be back and to be welcomed into your beautiful community. And